Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. I've had this many coffee this morning. Look how big it is.
What is on that mug?
It's a zombie from the hit AMC television show, Walking Dead.
I see. I have my Discovery Channel. Shark Week frenzy mug.
Did we coordinate like TV mugs today?
Not on purpose.
Oh, I feel like there's a win in there somewhere.
So yeah, those of you who are wondering, we did not do our show last night. Ryan had an event he needed to attend. Yeah. So he's all big and important.
Yeah, well, you know, I just took tickets at the door and then, you know, sang for 3 hours. I'm in concert every week now. That's not true. Man, no one would show up for that. Although, comedy, yeah. No, it was a Jack and Jill for Ashley's older sister, which it went really well. I was happy. There was no video games, unfortunately. So we're not going to talk about it anymore past now.
Past, that's what Ryan was doing. So, yeah, we are currently recording at stupid early on Saturday morning. There were alarms involved.
Mentioned that it is 11:30 in the morning right now where you are. It's not stupid early, but I do apologize for making
it early, given that I had to set an alarm.
I had to set an alarm. Ashley woke me up at 7:30. It's like, you gotta take me to work. I'm like, because I needed the car today. So we both set an alarm. It was very depressing.
Yeah, it's just so wrong. And then
fault.
I had to like wake up and like put on clothes.
It's a video show. I forgot. I was like, what?
If it was audio, it would have been fine. I could literally just like have rolled over in bed and been like talking into my mic like this.
Hey guys, this weekend I played Sleep or Lack Thereof. Thanks to Ryan.
Not thanks to Ryan, thanks to Hearthstone. Oh my god, I've been playing so much of that now that it's been released.
You got your mount?
I got my mount, and I got my mount on the first day, and I was so proud of myself, and I love that underneath the heroes it says, like, you know, how many wins you have on your way up to 500 to getting your golden hero, and I'm just like, this is so awesome. And then so I was just like, oh, it's amazing. I got it first day. I'm going to be like one of the only people in WoW to have this cool Pegasus mount. It looks so awesome. And then like literally I woke up the next morning. I didn't get a chance to log into WoW and actually claim it. Mm-hmm. So I logged in the next – or didn't log in. Sorry. I was reading Twitter the next morning. And Yongwoo, who's a producer for Hearthstone, tweeted out a picture – and was just like, have you claimed your mount yet? And it was just like, literally, it was the Shrine of Two Moons in Pandaria. And it was just like, there must have been like 250 people all on these like blue Pegasus mounts. Like you could barely even see the shrine for all of the Pegasi?
Pegasizes?
Pegasizes?
I don't know. Either way, it sounds wrong. Maybe you can't pluralize Pegasus.
Pegasus?
I almost did it again. Pegasi. I don't know. Whatever. So that's really cool. I need to get back in there, and I have to admit I haven't played Hearthstone since like 2013. You know, it's not because I don't enjoy the game. I think it's really great, but the problem is that because it's on PC, it's like you could play Hearthstone or you could play Diablo. I've always had this issue with games. Like there's these great games that are smaller in scale or different in gameplay that I feel like, you know, I could play that or I could play this or that or, you know, some AAA titles. And it makes me kind of feel a little bad because I know Hearthstone's really cool. And I'm really looking forward to the iPad release. And I don't know if at this point it's an excuse for me not to play Hearthstone. Or if I actually really want it.
Yeah, I think the iPad release is coming really, really soon.
Yeah.
The first official, like, we're still in test season 4 for ranked play.
Sure.
So the first official season starts in April. And I'm trying to remember now, there was something in the calendar that basically said, like, because they get the big problem with Hearthstone, I'm just going to look it up on Hearthhead because that's where, Hearthpwn was the one that had the article. But anyways, the problem with Hearthstone, I totally forgot.
There's no problem. It's a perfect game.
Oh, no, it's not the problem with Hearthstone. It's the problem with Hearthstone on iPad.
Is
that you can't run a beta. so they can't really test the app outside of like their team. So it's when it comes out on iPad, there's a really good chance that it's going to be quite buggy.
Well,
not, but
you know what they could do? And Blizzard, if you're listening, I'll give you a little bit of, like, Zynga does this, EA does this, soft launch it in Canada.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to test it.
Exactly. We always test things.
Yeah, we're the best beta testers. I mean, you know, we could do it drunk. We could do it drunk on maple syrup. It's great. We could play hockey.
I think that's what I am right now.
You're drunk on maple syrup. Oh, man, I wish. I'm just drunk.
Saturday morning is pancakes day. That still stands even when it's Saturday morning gamers in time. But so I remember what it was. Test season four in the patch notes from Hearthstone said season four in pre-iPad release. And then it said like season one was the first one in April. So we could be getting like we're not going to get any notice about when the iPad version is coming. We're just going to get it. So I think we're probably going to see the iPad app in April.
Well, I know that listening to some of Scott Johnson's shows, like he was at BlizzCon, and I think I don't know if Dills or Garrett got a chance to try it on iPad, but they said it was there.
I think Dills did.
Oh, cool! So they said it was there and they played it, but it wasn't like release ready. But that was in what, November? So 4 months of working on that thing, we could very well see it launch, you know, in this half of the year.
I think so. I really think we're going to get in April, which is really cool. And they did a lot of fixes. And I know, like, normally I don't talk about Hearthstone on GamersIn because that's what I have Angry Chicken for. But, I mean, it's officially out of beta now. They made so many changes. It was just worth mentioning. And I love the crossover between Hearthstone and Warcraft. And so, basically, in order to get them out, you had to get 3 wins in Ranked or Arena. And they've also, I think my favorite change, and we touched on it in Angry Chicken because we got the patch notes the night before it actually went live. So,
where they get a little fax, like they faxed it to you. It's like, guys, it's hot off the presses. We got the patch notes.
It was literally like half an hour before we started the show. There was still stuff breaking as we were doing the show. It was really cool. Anyways, my favorite change is the change to rank play. So basically you now gain 1 star in your starting rank for every rank you achieved last season. So if you got like all the way up 25 ranks, so if you were rank 1, then you would get 25 stars on your rank for the next season. So you wouldn't have to play through stars 1 and 2 of Angry Chicken and 1 and 2 of Leopard Gnome. Like you've already won those games essentially. So if you were legend 1 or 2, then like legend rank, rank 1 or rank 2, then you'll start in rank 17 at the start of the next season. So all the legend players won't be playing at rank 25, which was my biggest pet peeve because I couldn't play for the first week.
Right.
Because, I mean, like, I'm pretty good, but I don't have a lot of cards. And I was getting really, really frustrated because I would go in and I would play these people and they would have, like, strategies and legendaries and all this kind of stuff that was just way beyond me. And it was clear that, you know, when they played, you know, rank 2, 3, you know, up in that level. And they were all down in level 25 on the first week of a new season. And I was just like, oh man, you know, every once in a while you'd run into someone who was clearly like should be in rank 24, 25.
Right.
But I didn't run into them very often, and it was the same problem that I often had in StarCraft, where, like, I'm a bronze StarCraft player. Those of you who watched Gamers in Game Night realize I suck, and that's okay. But, you know, like, I would go in when they would start a new StarCraft season, and I don't know if it's my time zone or what, but it seemed like I was always getting placed against people who were like diamond or higher in the previous season, and I would just get rolled. I was like, where's all my other bronze people?
You know, I like when we talk about Angry Chicken. Not Angry Chicken. Hearthstone. They're just so, they're like intertwined for me at this point. Because that is how I usually get my Hearthstone talk. So it's nice when we can talk about Hearthstone here because I am totally out of the loop on this game. So how many wins do you have towards your gold icon and who are you working on now?
Oh, not many. I'm working on the Paladin, and I have, like, 5 wins.
Oh, and it's 500?
I played, let me see, Tuesday night. But what we were doing on Tuesday night was actually really cool. We got an email to the Angry Chicken email, and I think we're probably going to talk about this on Monday as well. So
spoilers.
Ooh, inside info, guys. So we got an email to the Angry Chicken email account asking there was actually a member of the armed forces in the States who was being deployed overseas in 2 weeks, and what he wanted to do before he left was play Hearthstone with Garrett Dills and I. Oh. And we're kind of like, whoa, that's really, really cool. So that's what we ended up doing on Tuesday night is, like, Garrett played some games against him, then I played some games against him, and then he got to play with Dills. So, you know, we chatted on Skype for a while, but as a result, I was just playing, like, AI games for most of the night, just working on my deck and things like that, because I didn't want, like, I wanted to be available whenever he was available, whenever he finished up with Garrett. So I wasn't actually playing ranked games because I didn't want to drop out of any of my ranked games. But, and yeah, to get the Golden Hero, you need 500 wins.
Well, I'll apologize on behalf of the Gamers Inn to Garrett that we spoiled a section of the Angry Chicken. I just hope he doesn't rage. Twitter tells me he rages.
Yeah, there's a hashtag and everything.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sorry. Please direct your rage at the House of Cards boxing bag. For those of you who've seen it, you probably know what I'm talking about. But no, that's interesting. I need to jump back in, play a couple rounds. It's a really good casual, boot it up, play for 10 minutes, and get out of there kind of game.
Yeah, and they've made a lot of changes. And if you haven't played since 2013, I mean, they've changed the rank system completely. There's been huge balance changes. And one of the really great things is that there aren't going to be any more balance changes, at least, you know, like, not the way we were seeing every 4 or 6 weeks. Like, now they've basically said, like, look, we've got the game balanced. Like, we're not going to make any more card changes, so...
Cool.
I mean, obviously, if they do need to change anything, they will, but generally, like, they, yeah, no more balance changes, which is good. That's what the beta was for, to test the balance.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to when they get the, you know, iPad, tablet, phone versions out, so we can start seeing their plan for, you know, post-game content, like expansions
when the iPhone version comes out. The iPhone version, I think, we're not going to see until later in the fall. But they put that out, oh my God, like, I'm just going to play all the time.
Yeah. So I really hope we can see something from them soon. But you're right. Like, when this is on a device that you carry around with you every day, it's going to be Hearthstone, you know, any time of day, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
So yeah, and I mean, my time where I actually have nights to play during the week are, you know, kind of Tuesdays, which this Tuesday I played all Hearthstone, and then usually Fridays. So, and that's usually after Gamers Inn, but this week we didn't have Gamers Inn last night, so I played South Park, and I was going to stream, but then I didn't think I was going to play for very long. I was really, really tired. And then I started playing, and I played for 2 hours, and I was like, damn it, I totally could have streamed this. Although, I finally got to the point, well, not finally, actually, I was really close to it last time, but I got to the part that's censored in Europe.
Oh. Okay.
The anal probing aliens. And it was like, it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be, given the reaction of actually censoring it out of a video game. Like, I mean... It's totally got to be because it's sexual in nature, not violent in nature. Because if you look at just, like,
how is
violence in
anal
video games,
probing sexual? That's
it is.
No, it's not. They're not doing it for sexual. Unless I don't know. Not. I haven't seen the character. Like, does the character enjoy said probing?
Well, there's a couple.
I'm so sorry I asked that, chat room. I don't know. I'm going to go buy the European version, you know?
The point is, they tend to censor sexual things before they censor violent things. There are some violent things that I have seen in video games that are way worse than what I saw in South Park that are not ever censored.
Which is weird, because it should be the other way around, because in Europe, they're all cool with sex stuff. They're just not big into violence. It's true. You could watch daytime television in Italy and see, like... a couple bazongas hanging out, like,
It's a thing that happens. Like, I can't believe we're having this discussion.
Okay, again,
this
chat
is
room.
South Park. Okay, you have to, if you're going to discuss the game, these are the kind of discussions you have.
This is Gamers In After Dark, but early enough so your kids can watch. I'm really sorry.
But it's true, though. Generally,
it's, true. It's a mature game.
Huh?
It's a mature game. It's well, it's it not mature, mature, but it's game, rated M.
So I finally got to it. I played through it. The mini game was quite funny.
There's a mini game related to it? I thought it was just a cutscene.
No, there's a mini game. Yeah, it's a button mashing mini game.
Ah, come on. I am buying the European version. It's been decided. That is kind of gross. But, I mean, it's South Park. I mean, you would expect it. And it's meant to gross you out. I think that's the point.
Yeah.
Oh, if you're enjoying it, I mean,
look, okay, I enjoyed it from a standpoint of I was trying to tell Joel about it afterwards.
Right.
And I was laughing so hard I could barely get the words out. Like, it is really funny.
And what did he think?
Well done, and it's unexpected. And, like, I mean, even when you're expecting it, you're not expecting it. So, like, because I knew that this scene was in there, obviously, because we covered it a couple weeks ago with the fact that Europe banned it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was just... It's a lot of fun, and I'm at the point now where I think I've pretty much found all the South Park characters. So again, like, it's just such fan service. Like, you know, it's so good. It's so much good. And there's this one part where you battle the Bard, who is played. Are you a fan of South Park? Are you familiar with
it? I'm familiar with small pieces of it. Yeah.
Okay, so the Bard is Jimmy, who's the I don't even know if this is the right word. And he's the little crippled boy who has the two crutches on his arms, and he speaks with a stutter.
Timmy.
No, that's Timmy. There's Jimmy now too.
There's two of them.
There's two. So, anyways, Jimmy is a comedian in real South Park life. So, in South Park Stick of Truth, where they all have, like, fantasy-type characters, he's the Bard. And there's this one point where he's, like, you know, the boss that you have to defeat, and he's, like, doing one of the big monologues, but then he starts stuttering, and he can't get the word out. And then it shows up on the screen, it's like, press B to skip. And you're just like, oh my god, I feel so mean and wrong and stuff. And maybe I'll just let him try to finish, but he will never finish unless you hit B to skip the cutscene. It's hilarious.
This game is, I don't know, it sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm big in, like I said last week, I'm big into, like, the Super Mario RPG style combat. I was really upset when the Paper Mario game that came out on 3DS didn't use, you know, to the best of its ability, that combat style. So, yeah, and this game would be nice. Like, it just feels like it would be really cool combat, but it's also a different experience you're not getting anywhere else, because it's adult comedy as opposed to, like, slapstick, cartoonish comedy that we see in a lot of these games trying to be comedic. I mean, if you look at what Double Fine's doing, it's probably one of the funnier games out there, but it's kind of aimed at an all audience, right? So, no, like, more games like this, and I hope it sells well, because I want to see developers take more chances like this and put out a very mature game that is trying to be funny, because there's just not enough of it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen any actual stats on how well the game is selling. I didn't even see pre-sale numbers.
Yeah, they've been pretty quiet, but it'll be interesting. I have a feeling it's tough. It reviewed all right. It reviewed pretty well, and I think that a lot of people were excited. So it's a previous gen game, and...
But, I mean, really and truly, like, it is everything it promises to be. It's like playing through a South Park episode, and in some ways, it's almost like a choose-your-own-adventure, because there are side quests. So, I mean, it's not even like you're stuck in one storyline and you have to do it. Like, you can team up with Al Gore and hunt down Man-Bear Pig. You can, you know, like, just go off on Jimbo's big game hunting, which is basically, like, he gives you random different pieces of, like, food to use as bait, and then, like, you... fight against like a giant sewer rat and like the junkyard dog and all these kind of things. Those are your like big game hunting in this redneck South Park town. Like, it's just, it's really fun. And it's everything that I wanted it to be. So
interesting. Well, yeah. No, I'm excited and it's on my wish list and I look forward. I'll probably pick it up once it, you know, dies down. March yeah. is a crazy month for games.
Oh my God, I know. Man. And like even just DLC, which is what you've been picking up lately, right?
Yeah. So when I was in Mexico, The Last of Us.
You found a bootleg copy?
Yeah, it's called El Last of Us. Last of Behind the DLC. Oh! My friend, you come by. Come on. So when I was in, no, seriously, The Last of Us was I think my game of the year last year. Yes. It was one of my favorite experiences, and I truly enjoyed the story and the gameplay, unlike some people who really weren't fans of the gameplay, or the story for that matter. But the DLC, they had one piece of single player DLC, and it was scheduled to come out on Valentine's Day. And I was away, and I finally got around to playing it over the weekend last week. It's shorter and it features Ellie, the one of the main protagonists of the first game, and her sort of prequel to the main game and how she got into the situation she is in at the start of the main game. And it features her, and it features Riley, which is her friend that she mentions. And it's a story about these two friends who had a falling out, but are trying to reconvene, like very good friends. And it's very story based. So
did they have a falling out while the apocalypse is happening? Because it seems like you could probably, you know, work through just about anything if there's an apocalypse.
Well, they had a falling out, but they're sort of like in The Last of Us. They have these like quarantine safe zones set up. So it's not like the main game takes place. No imminent
danger?
Well, there is, but the main game takes place a lot outside of these zones. But the zones are militarized, so they're safe, but they're very strict. Mm. So these two kids are in this like military camp training to be, soldiers. And they have a falling out where one of the friends disappears for like 40 days or something, like just leaves, like gets up and goes. So when she comes back, they sort of go on this, like, adventure, you know, to kind of, you know, they're good friends. Like, hey, let's go have some fun before we have to get up and do military drills. So that's how it starts. And it's sort of a half and half prequel side story because you're also getting a chunk of story and gameplay that took place during a, what I'll say, sort of like a time skip in the original game. Not that you needed to know what happened there. It was sort of self-explanatory, but the way they sort of integrate that into the DLC is really interesting. And for those who didn't like the gameplay, the story is totally there, but the gameplay is like, it was sprinkled in there, like, oh, I remember I could have fun with this. But near the end, there's just, you know, this big gameplay moment that just surprises you out of nowhere, and I can imagine a lot of people that were not too happy about that gameplay would be like, ah, this was such a good story, and then you had to ruin it with, you know, the classic BioShock shoot a bunch of dudes to get by and see the next story point, right?
I think that was one of the things that I disliked the most about Walking Dead and Wolf Among Us. Mm-hmm. Is that you would be going through and you'd be getting these story pieces and you'd be talking to people and, you know, you just kind of walk around a corner and all of a sudden you have to mash A because you're in some confrontation you didn't see happening and you're just like, oh man, you know, like I was really on this train of thought or I was just about to do this thing and now I just have to sit here and mash a button for 10 seconds before I can move on. And, you know, if I don't mash it just fast enough or just in the right order or whatever, then I'm going to die and have to start back and redo the story things that I was already working on. And that was my least favorite part of those games. And that sounds very similar to what you're describing, but
yeah,
it's different because I know that the gameplay is more complicated than just mash a button in Last of Us, but I can see how that would be a jarring experience and would put some people off.
Yeah. It's just the way they do it is kind of, almost unbelievable as to how you would get out of that situation. And I'm trying not to spoil it, because there is some great story stuff in there that I really like, that sort of sets up the character a little better for the main game and her situation, and how, and it sort of makes you feel bad for what actually happened. Like, oh man, she had a rough time. Yeah, it's interesting. I would highly recommend it. It's $15, but we
kind of... Oh, the DLC is $15.
Yeah, the DLC is 15 bucks, but if you buy the season pass... I was like,
Last of Us is only 15 bucks? God, that dropped fast.
It's probably getting there, you know. it's interesting because the season pass is 20 bucks. Like BioShock, the season pass is just an amazing deal where you're getting... Well, an amazing deal in the sense that you're getting like $45 worth of DLC for 20 bucks. Mm-hmm. So if you like The Last of Us, I would highly suggest picking up the DLC, especially since it doesn't look like we're going to get any more Last of Us content for quite a while, because Naughty Dog's sort of focusing on Uncharted, the Uncharted series for the next gen. So yeah, might as well soak it in while we can.
That's true. And you're playing something else, which I know everybody and their mother was playing this week, except for apparently me. So what else were you doing this week, or at least attempting to do?
Well, played some Titanfall a little bit, and that game is taking the internet by storm.
It's everywhere. Everyone on my Twitter feed is playing it. Like, it just, and I bought South Park instead of Titanfall, and I'm not kicking myself because I am loving my South Park experience and I'm a huge, huge fan. So, you know, I would have been buying South Park regardless of when it came out over pretty much anything else. So, but like, Titanfall is just everywhere, and it does, it did look really cool. The trailers were kind of cool, but I can't believe the amount of attention it's getting and the amount of people that are playing.
I was skeptical as well about like all the coverage and all the people saying it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's true what they say, like, you this is the type of game that you kind of have to play to get, you know, to be like, oh, that's why everybody's going crazy. I'm a fan of Halo, but I'm not a fan of multiplayer shooters. I like story, and I'm not big into shooting people and getting killed. But this game just makes enough tweaks and balances and gameplay changes to a typical multiplayer shooter just to make it fun and entertaining.
When you first jumped in, because this is a multiplayer only game, so mm-hmm. there is no single player campaign. So when you jumped in, were you in on the first day? Were you in on the second day? Like, how soon were you into the actual game?
I played the second day it came out, but I was running into issues where, and I think it might have been just the settings, because I usually, how I play PC games is I crank everything up and then mm-hmm. trim down until it runs at a specific, you know, frame rate. And this game being targeted at the next gen is not going to run on your computer that sort of targeted the previous generation. My computer is about 3 years old, so the hardware...
Sorry, I just...
What?
In Halifax, there's a gun that goes off, like a big cannon, at noon every day, and I completely forgot about it, and it just went off, and I was like, what the... Oh, right, noon gun, okay.
Noon gun.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, it's lunchtime. I'm going to shoot a cannon.
Boom.
Is that at the Citadel, or...?
Yeah, at the Citadel, yeah.
Interesting.
Just scared the crap out of me. I was like, oh, my God, because yesterday there was a container with, like, nuclear stuff in it that was... Yeah, they had to, like, shut down the harbor and everything else. So I was like, oh, my God, something bad is happening again. Anyways.
Yeah, So
back to in second day, computer settings, continue.
Yeah. So once I sorted that out, the game was, like, not going into a game. It was crashing, and I think it was just because I was trying to do too much. But that being said, the game looks fantastic even at, like, not highest setting. I don't have it on low. It's about medium to high. But it still looks as good as any typical shooter you're going to play out there. Mm-hmm. The beauty of it is that there's no single player campaign. It's all multiplayer. And why I say it's a beauty is because you can get right in there, start playing with other people who want to experience the story. And what happens is you're literally just in there playing the game, and, you know, say this campaign mode, we're gonna do attrition, which is basically team kills. and whoever gets the most amount of points wins the match. But as you're playing, you'll hear little story beats, like a video will pop up in your top right screen and say, oh, you know, I hear a transmission coming from over yonder. We should go see what it is. And then as you play, the story sort of unfolds around you. And instead of, like, normal gameplay moments, like, you know, the way they do the ending of every match, it'll sort of introduce a story beat like, oh, there's a dropship. We need to get there and try to stop them from escaping. And it's all part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's kind of layered in there. And you can kind of experience it as you're playing. It's not meant to set up like an epic Halo 4, but it's more meant to just introduce you to the world to allow you to understand why Team A is trying to kill Team B.
Okay.
So it's interesting.
So then, if you're having story that's coming through in the map that you're playing, in the multiplayer map,
mm-hmm.
if you play the same map over and over, do you get the same story over and over?
No, so campaign and multiplayer are two separate modes. So you're...
Oh, so there are two separate modes. So sorry, everything, yeah. Everything's multiplayer, but mm-hmm. you can play campaign with yeah. other people...
Yeah, okay. You have to play a campaign with other people. So what happens is basically you're playing a multiplayer game, but there's story layered on top. And then what I did Thursday for Gamers in Game Night is I just said, here's my origin ID. We're going to play some Titanfall. I hadn't beat the campaign, but it takes about 3 to 4 hours, I've heard. So I was playing multiplayer, and this is where it truly started to shine, where I started to understand why Titanfall is so great, because... First of all, you start off as a pilot, which is basically your dude with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And you have increased mobility. Like, you can double jump with a jetpack. You can wall run. You can wall run, jump to another wall, and continue to run. There's, like, double jumps and, like, grabbing ledges and getting up. And that all sounds really complex, but it actually works really well, and it's super simple. Mm. It just happens. And... it's so surprising.
I don't even have to try. The game just plays itself.
Well, it doesn't play itself, but it certainly, you know, like, you don't need to worry about, you don't have to worry. It's like, have you ever played Prince of Persia? The redos, I guess.
No, I haven't.
The redos, the remakes, I guess.
But I know what you mean. Well, I mean, I'm kind of picturing Assassin's Creed, which is quite similar, where you just kind of, you run, and as long as you're holding down the, like, parkour button, then, like, you'll run up to stuff, and you'll climb stuff, yeah. and you just kind of keep going automatically. You don't really have to tap a button every time you want to do something.
Well, that's the beauty of it, is there is no parkour button. You hit the shift button, just tap it, you'll start running, mm-hmm. and you have unlimited run until you stop, and you just jump, and you'll cling to the wall and start running. And it's like, I'm running along the wall, I'm not falling. Mm-hmm. And you jump across, and you start running along that wall. It's just, it makes you feel like, hey, if I was doing this in real life, I'd be a superstar on YouTube because I'm parkouring right now. but then you get the mechs, and, well, they're called Titans, and you earn them. They kind of recharge over time. So if you're doing really well, you're going to get your mech maybe in a minute and a half rather than 3 minutes.
Okay.
So if you're not doing so well, you're going to get your mech maybe once in a match. And you, what's called
Titanfall.
So it's
not really, like, all mechs all the time.
No, but you can usually tell if you're doing well if there's, like, 5 mechs on your team. Because everybody's got their mech, and everybody's just staying alive.
Right.
And so when you earn your mech, you call it down, and you can kill things with your mech. So if you bring it down, it'll come crashing down, and you run towards it, and you push E to get in, and it, like, grabs you and, like, shoves you into its chest. It's amazing. It just feels so cool that the way they've set this up, because normally it's like, oh, I'm just going to climb in my mech and get in here. It's just, the animations are amazing, and, you know, you can eject from your mech. So if you take a lot of damage, and the mechs do take damage pretty easily, they don't last long if you're not careful with your armor. But you eject, and you go high in the sky, and the best thing I've ever done is that you can kind of, like, maneuver in the air. I went up in the air. My mech explodes. I land on some other dude's mech, who's an enemy, tear off its cover, start shooting, and then that mech explodes, and I jump off, and I run away, and it just... the stuff you get to do in this game just makes you feel
really badass.
Exactly. And you can ride on people's mechs. You can, and when you're in a mech, you can like punch a dude and he like explodes into bits.
See, and that's what I'm talking about, the kind of like violent things that are totally fine in video games.
I know.
But alien probing, that's just wrong.
Well, there's no probing in this game. I mean, there, well, okay, there's a little bit of probing. Like if you're in if you're in a mech and you kind of damage another mech enough that he's like in what's called doom mode, meaning you've taken too much damage and
you
there's
can't
a
recover.
You can't recover. There's a meter going down as you're taking your last bit of damage, and that's to tell you you probably need to get out of this guy because he's going to explode. And it'll tell you, like, your enemy is in doom mode, and you can run up to him, push the melee button for your Titan, just punch into the freaking Titan, grab the dude, pull him out, and he's, like, dazed. He's like, oh, man, I'm going to die, and just chuck him against a wall. And the mech explodes, and the American flag waves in the background. Fortunate Son starts playing. It's amazing. Such a great game. You gotta get it.
I think I probably will. I think what I've been kind of holding back on is the fact that it's multiplayer only, which I think we can probably talk about in the next section. So just before we do, I wanted to remind everyone that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN whenever you buy a new system, which will double your RAM. So head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. So in terms of multiplayer only, that was a really big, like, for some people, probably a selling point. For me, it's like keeping me away because I didn't really like the multiplayer part of, say, Call of Duty, like, even in zombie mode where you're supposed to be cooperative. Like, nobody in multiplayer, okay, that's a gross generalization, but multiplayer in first person shooters is usually not a team thing. People are usually not very nice, and it's just not the kind of experience that I want. I do play World of Warcraft, which is also multiplayer only, but there's a lot of content that I can do all by myself. I don't have to be with other people if I don't want to be, and most of the people that I do surround myself with are freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. Yay, AIE! It's my only AIE plug today, I promise. But, you know, like, in Titanfall, it's like, well, the only way I can play is with other people. Mm-hmm. And if I'm bad, which I'm assuming I will be, then they're just going to make fun of me and make sexist and racial comments. And I'm not going to want to play anymore. And so then I've wasted $60.
I can understand that would be an issue. And I can't say if there's assholes playing Titanfall.
I'm sure there are.
There are probably.
Mean, there's jerks in WoW, too. I'm not saying that WoW has no jerks because everybody knows that's not true.
Yeah, and, you know, the chat room makes a good point. Like, you know, play multiplayer with friends. And that's something, that's the reason we've sort of introduced Game Night with. And I played last night and I basically said, like, hey, guys, I'm going to play. Here's my Origin ID. And the one issue I
that's
had...
That's another thing, is Origin, but...
Well, okay, once you're in-game, the game works flawlessly. There's no issues. However, I was having an issue with Origin where the overlay wouldn't pop up, and I was unable to actually invite friends to my game. But what Titanfall does to kind of say, like, okay, Origin's shit, but I'm going to let, you know... It's just like Steam, where you can see, like, so-and-so is playing a game, and you can click on their name and join in, and I wasn't able to invite anybody, but we had four or five people from Twitter just jump into our game and start playing. And I was like, oh, Lou's in our game, Bob's in our game, you know, now, you know, Gornashk is in our game. Mm-hmm. So, in that sense, it was really easy. The game's really solid. The servers are doing fine. It's no SimCity. But you do still have to deal with Origin. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think we're even friends on Origin because I added two Origin accounts. Like, you're still having that issue, or you're not?
I still have two Origin accounts, exactly. It's so frustrating. I never did get that figured out because for those of you who are new to GamersIn, this was an issue about a year ago that I discovered with... I think it was actually about before SimCity because I had... my core Sims 3 game on one account, and then I had purchased some expansion packs on another account, and I didn't even realize I had two different accounts. And it came from some game that I set up on, it might have even been, Mass Effect is Origin, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, the app was, yeah.
So I think I set up Origin on my Xbox, and I thought that I had to use like my Xbox email with my Origin when I was playing on Xbox. So I ended up creating a new account, which I thought I was creating like, I didn't realize I was creating a whole new Origin account anyway. Mm-hmm. And by entering the stuff on the Xbox, I must have like accidentally like mis-entered my birthday or something. And so now they won't let me transfer my stuff that's on that account over to my actual Origin account. So I have stuff on two different accounts and I can't close the one because they keep telling me my birthday is wrong. And I'm just like, look, I have the username. I have the password. This is me. This is all my credit card info. Like, my birthday is probably off by like a digit or two. And they're just like, nope, can't do anything. Sorry, can't help you. Shocker. Mm. So now I have two different Origin accounts. And so I have like some people on one Origin account for playing Mass Effect. I have other people on other Origin accounts for playing Simpsons Tapped Out. Like, I just, everybody's all over the place. I hate Origin.
Yeah. Well, okay. I can understand that being an issue, but unrelated to Titanfall, right? Like, once you get in there, once you sort out like your issue or pick an account and stick with mm-hmm. it or whatever, or just have a separate account for your computer than you do for your iPhone. It seems like EA wants that to happen, so I might as well give in. Like, someone in the chat room is saying that they had that problem as well and they had to call 5 times before they could fix it.
Yeah, I tried everything. I tried online support. I tried emailing. I tried calling. Like, everything. They are unhelpful. But yeah. Anyways.
I did have a slight issue with Origin, just how the overlay wasn't working, and I was unable to invite people. But once I was in game and we were playing, like, it worked. And you know, I know you mentioned that you don't think you'll be good, but I think that's the beauty of Titanfall, at least for me.
Everybody's good.
No, not everybody's good. We were kicking ass and taking names at one point, but winning every match and Titanfalling like 5 times in a row, but. The game really encourages people who aren't, you know, the best at first-person shooters to sort of, if you're really good, go off on your own, try to kill some people. If you're not so good, there is AI-controlled, what they call, I call them minions, but they have different names. They call them, like, specters and grunts. And they're these AI characters that launch in, and they're super easy to kill. They'll kill you if you let them, but you can kill those to get points towards the actual win of the match. So, like, I had somebody in our chat room. We lost a game of attrition. They said to me, you know, well, man, we suck at you guys don't know how to play attrition, do you? It's like, why? We did fine. It's like, well, you know, you have to kill the minions, too, to boost your points. So you're able, like, even if you're not that great, you're able to get in there. Everybody gets a Titan eventually, and when you call that thing down, you have more armor. It's easier to avoid damage because you can take damage and then get out of the way and let your shields recharge. So, I don't know. Like, if you're as long as you're okay with first-person shooters,
I just need to go after the computer.
Well, to start,
stay away from the real people.
It's like muscle memory. Like, eventually, you get good at it. I mean, you're not going to be good first and foremost. I mean, that's the reason why League of Legends is so tough to get into, because people expect you to be good right away. Whereas in Titanfall, there's sort of, you know, there's some forgiveness there where you can slowly build up, and you will, because it's addicting as hell. Like, you level up, you unlock stuff. It's really cool. But
so basically you're telling me I should get in now, because a month or two from now, everyone's going to be like, why do you suck so bad? And I'll be like, I knew. And they'll be like, no, everyone's been playing for 2 months. What do you mean you're new?
Here's what I'm saying. Like, the next time, when you decide to pick it up, the first time you play, after you get through the training, we do Gamers in Game Night, and we just fill our party with nice people. And then if anybody
will yell at me.
Yeah, if anybody's a dick, we will boot them from the party and ban them from ever being a dick on the internet again.
Oh, if only I had that power. That'd be amazing.
Hey, Jocelyn, we have that power.
Yeah.
It's called, I don't know, we don't have that power.
No, not even a little. And yes, chat room is saying, oh my God, Hearthstone on iPad as early as next month. Yes, we talked about that earlier. Probably, yes, we will see that in April. Anyways.
Yeah, I hope all we need is that'll take over the world. So maybe buy Titanfall before that happens.
Probably should. So I think one of the issues with the whole multiplayer only thing, the last thing we're going to touch on before we kind of wrap up the show is like, these multiplayer only games are great for the short term, but what happens 10 years from now if I really love Titanfall, but there's no servers left, like what happened with Halo 2? So, I mean, we talked earlier briefly just before the show about how, you know, like, well, same thing could possibly happen to WoW, but I mean, I don't think with all the money Blizzard has that the WoW servers, even if they come out with like World of Warcraft 2, or whatever, I still don't think that they're going to actually shut down WoW servers. I think that that will just always be kind of available. But in terms of some of these other games that are coming out, then what happens when that game's not playable?
Yeah. And I mean, lately there's been a lot of talk of like preservation and stuff and a multiplayer only title. Like what, are they going to have like a server in the back room that runs a, you know, small server for Titanfall so people can explore it 50 years from now at a museum? I mean, like, WoW is an interesting example because it's super popular. I doubt Blizzard would ever truly take it off, but you have other MMOs like, say, Star Wars, Galaxies, that got taken away, you know, and you can't play that anymore. It's exactly. Just a game that doesn't exist, even if you loved it. I don't know what was wrong with you, but you just loved it. It's gone. I can't say so that. I've never played.
So, I mean, if it just ends up being gone and it's unplayable, because some of the things we mentioned earlier on is that, like, you know, if you have a Super Nintendo and you have your Mario cartridge, like, you can still play that 10, 20, 50 years from now, assuming it's still compatible with a TV that you own. But, you know, like,
that's true.
Assuming that all of that is true, you can still plug that in and you can play that game. But, I mean, if you're still playing Titanfall 10 years from now, have you not gotten your $60 out of it? Like, I mean, it's not the kind of thing where you're paying a monthly fee. You just pay your $60 for Titanfall, you play Titanfall. If you've played Titanfall for 10 years, I would say that they don't owe you a damn thing.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I don't know if it's about owing you something, but that's an argument people can't make. But an argument that people can make is like, say, and I'm not saying Titanfall is this game, but let's say hypothetically a game comes out that completely revolutionizes the way we play first-person shooters online, multiplayer only. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you experience that 20 years down the road when you say, oh, you know, this game, this mythical game, you know, created the resurgence of first-person shooters and made them what they are today? Like, you can't go back and play that now because their servers are down and the code isn't compatible. Like, I think that's
so it's not so much people buying it now in a multiplayer only server world. You're talking about people 10 years, 20 years from now that want to go back and experience that play and can't.
Like, the original Tetris is known for being one of the greatest and first best like puzzle sort of you know, games. And you can go back and play that in its original format on the Game Boy, no problem, as long as you have the compatible hardware. But when it comes to, you know, games like Titanfall, or maybe even look at, I don't know, the original Counter-Strike mod. Like, say servers go away for that. Like, how do you play that and experience the revolutionary thing that was original Counter-Strike?
But is that really a big enough, I guess, market? Or, you know, are there enough people who would realistically do that, that it needs to be something that game developers worry about?
I don't know if it's something they worry about, but or they need to worry about, but it's an interesting conversation to have. Like, you say your favorite game ever is multiplayer only, and you want to show your kids or show somebody, like, I can show my kids the original Mario. It's like, I played this when I was your age, you know? And it'll work. It'll be fine. And there's also like a conversation of maybe they don't have to preserve Titanfall the way it is now, but maybe they say, like, it's 20 years from, you know, 20 years ago, the original Titanfall launched. Here's a re-release, you know, a remake. You know, similar to what they did with Halo on Xbox 360. You know, Halo was seen as probably one of the best made console first-person shooters and totally made the genre viable on the consoles. And in order to allow people to continue playing it, they re-released it on current hardware. Maybe that's the solution to the issue. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. So, anyways, for now, yay, Titanfall. Everyone should go try it, including me, apparently. And I should not be afraid of jerks on the internet because Ryan's going to protect me.
Well, not just me.
Surrounding me with friends.
Sometimes I can be the jerk, but we'll have a lot of people around. As evidenced by
I get to be head of the party, so I can do all the booting.
That's true. I will keep my asinineness to a minimum.
But, I shall be known as Jocelyn, swinger of the banhammer.
Good. I'm glad you finished that.
So I think that pretty much does it for us this week, guys. Thanks for showing up so damn early on a Saturday morning. We really appreciate it.
It's early on the West Coast.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's really early on the West Coast. There's probably no one on the West Coast that's paying attention. They're but I have seen a lot of Europe in the chat room, so hi, Europe.
It's nice to do a show on a Saturday morning so Europe can watch. I saw there was someone from Russia in there that said they were watching for the first time. Yeah.
So very, very cool. So thanks, everyone, for watching. If you want to support the show, you can head on over to slashloot.com and grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. There's all kinds of t-shirts over there. There's a whole bunch from the Frog Pants crew. Obviously, Angry Chicken is over there as well, along with Starcast Show. So head on over to slashloot.com, grab a Gamers In t-shirt, and grab a couple of others while you're there. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on AMOVE TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including Starcast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, Angry Chicken, and AMOVE Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. You can find Ryan at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Jocelyn Moffat, when I actually decide to upload, which I promise will be today.
Eventually.
Eventually. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email us and let us know what you think about South Park or Titanfall or anything else we've talked about today, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffat for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. On Friday, we promise.
Hey, bye.